good to be with you. Happy to be with you. I want to share a few thoughts that have been on my heart for some time with you and ask you to pray for me, if you will, please. When we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, he said in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." There's a good question in that, isn't there? I pose a question for you. What is our percentage in the way we live our lives? Is it on the side of what's going to happen to everything we're trying to gain? Or is it in gaining some more so the fire will be bigger? Do you follow what I'm getting at? I appreciate very much and enjoyed what these brethren have had to say. And I think it would be in harmony with what has been brought before us to make a statement to you that I shared with Elder Beale a while ago. The question to me is this: are we natural human beings on a temporary spiritual journey, or are we spiritual beings on a temporary physical journey? You follow what I'm getting at? And when we decide which one we are, it will help us to understand what I just read and which one's the most important. I like the illustration of the dot in eternity, you know. Does it take a rocket scientist to believe that? Huh? Or is that the truth of God before us? That Monday morning we're going to pretend didn't even exist. Is our life to be lived, "Lord, I've got this planned, would you bless me?" Is that the way it's supposed to be lived? Or if the Lord wills, we'll go into yonder city. Amen. You follow what I'm getting at? Isn't there a great deal of difference in saying, "Lord, help me do what I've got planned," instead of admitting that we are the needy folk, right? Right. Yes, right. I've sure missed the bus if that ain't true. The bus may not have run. But anyway, you understand what I'm getting at? To me, when Jesus teaches us some very straight lessons by his apostles, by himself, through all of the Old Testament, and it's all about him, yet at the same time, what he teaches us is that our life is as a vapor. It ain't here long. Huh? Again, could I say on that basis, what manner of people ought we to be? If you read there where Brother Chris was reading a while ago, and turn there just momentarily, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 15, and I don't intend to be long. My intentions are not always fulfilled, so you can dream, okay? Anyway, he said down there in chapter 15, he said, "So also is the resurrection of the dead," verse 42. "It is sown in what? corruption. Wait a minute. You mean this thing that I'm so proud of is put in the tomb in corruption? Well, would it help us? Would we be ahead? I don't mean, is it going to change God? Are you with me? What you and I do if we did it for 10,000 years on end wouldn't change God. I don't think we're going to change him by what we do or don't do. I think we're the benefactors. Huh? But it's an interesting thing to me that he's saying here, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Which side of that equation is most valuable? And which side are we sowing to? You understand what I'm saying? Huh? I mean, is it not reasonable that we should be looking unto Jesus, not looking unto how much can I get, what can I do with it when I get it, how long am I going to get to keep it, and who's going to have it when I'm gone? But that's the story of our life, isn't it? I want to pose a thought for you this evening, and you may despise my insides and outsides both for me having thought about it and said it to you. I want to ask you a question. In the manner of which way would we expect to be closer to God? Now think on that just a minute. Which way would we expect us individually and our families to be closer to God? Before public education or after? When we pawned our children off to be taught by the teachers and didn't do what Deuteronomy 6 told us to do. Are you following with me? I'm talking about from a spiritual point of view, which way would we be? Would we be closer to God or further away? I know there's a thousand answers for that. And you could just hang me up by the toes and crucify me. That's all right. But my point is that being closer to God is more valuable. Amen. Than any kind of secular education you're ever going to get. Amen. You say, but I can use it more for the glory of God. Would you mind to prove that point? I got another question that's worse. You sure ain't going to like me for it. But I didn't come to see if you still love me. I come hopefully, if God would bless me to help us be aware of where we are, where we've been. And if we keep traveling in the direction from where we've been to where we are, where are we going? I'm not talking about the churches and religions of the world. That's not my primary concern. My primary concern is that group of people who know what they are by nature and have some faint idea of what they are by grace, who feel in their hearts to be like the psalmist said when he said, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. That's pretty heart-rending. And that don't bring you out down the aisle smacking your bubble gum to join the church. That brings you with your head bowed low. Saying, oh God, will they have me? They don't know what I am. But Lord, I believe you have made me accepted in the Beloved. Would you let me be a part and give them grace to allow me to be so? instead of, well, I've been pretty good. I think they owe me a home in the church. Boy, what a blessing I could be to that church if they just had me a part of it. There's a difference, isn't there? I wanted to read something to you a while ago, but I don't know that I'll get there. But I want to get to my other question first. Which is the greater sin? I'm not going to answer it. And I know you don't have to answer it. And that's all right. Was it to pawn our children off to a public school system that taught them atheism and evolution and took them away from God? Or is the greater sin to pawn our children off to be taught by the pastors and not by their mothers and daddies? Which is the greater sin? The sorry job the pastor's doing of teaching my kids? Pray tell me, where do you get off? Huh? Where did God Almighty ever teach us that mothers and fathers were to farm their children out to anybody? I'm not talking about what you know by virtue of what you've experienced. I'm talking about what does the Bible teach. And if we ain't going to have that, there's a question mark about our presence. But beloved, some way, somehow, some of these days, for God's people to come to the place we need to be before God, we're going to have to read God's word for what it says, believe it, and see the difference in what was done then and what we're doing now.
Amen.
And if we don't see that, we'll go on in our Phariseeism.
Amen.
I told you you wasn't going to like me, didn't I? I'm a good prophet, ain't I? Let me pose a question for you. Which way is mother and father closer to the Lord when they study to learn how to teach their children, or when they expect the preacher to do it when they take them to church? Which way is mom and daddy closer to God? I'm not saying what all is wrong with this and that. I'm talking from the perspective of what does God's book teach us? That we have the privilege. Could I stomp my foot and say, not the duty, obligation, and responsibility, but the privilege before God of learning enough about His Word to teach our children the things of God's Word from our heart to their heart.
Amen.
And beg God for them to walk in the pathway of righteousness for their good, because of a God who has loved them with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness has drawn them and proven His love for years and years and years on end. And then you lower that to the standard of a duty, obligation, and responsibility, I think you have kicked Him out the door. I want to know what good, so far as good for your heart and good for the honor of God, it's going to be for me to tell you that you need to get up off of it and get you a bucket of love and start using it. Where are you going to get it? Is there a store somewhere that sells it? I want to read to you. If you get it, where are you going to get it? Most of you know where I'm going. Isaiah 58. Could I tell you this evening, I believe God gave us a body not because the body was most important, but because it was an instrument to manifest the Spirit of God within us. That ain't no good to you. Did you know the body without the Spirit is dead? Well, then which ones are more important? Huh? One is for temporary manifestation of some spirit, evil or good, that is using the body to manifest what's in. What else is the body for? Well, you got one wacko tonight, didn't you? But beloved, I've made a horrible mistake in the last year and a half to 2 years. I've been reading the book of Acts over and over and over, looking for the church houses that the people met in every Sunday for the preacher to get in the pulpit of wood and preach to them. Have you found it? If you have, I want to look at it, please. I want to make a worse statement probably than any of them that I've made. As the church of Christ goes, so goes the nation it's in. Is that not true according to Matthew 5? Then let's face the lick log. Is America going to hell in a handbasket because of what the politicians are doing? Or because of what the church is not doing that Jesus told her to do and not doing it with the heart she should be doing it with? And I don't know which is the worst. But I want to share something with you. If you want to read with me, that's fine. But if you just listen and then go home and read it again. And this is what I mean by turning the education spiritually of our children over to the preacher. I want to pose a $64,000 question. How many of us went home since last Sunday and proved what the preacher said by thus saith the Lord or disproved it? Now that'll tell you who you've turned your spiritual education over to. You follow me? If you didn't trust him with your spiritual welfare, you'd have went home, searched the scriptures, whether or not these things be so, knowing that this is the infallible book. Amen. And that preacher come here in corruption. And he going to be sown in corruption. And praise God for preachers that are used and called of God and preach the gospel the very best they can and seeking the face of God for the grace and power to do it with. Thank God for that. But don't make a God out of them. Not to yourself, nor to your children. I want to know what's the difference in a communist form of government than a preacher-ruled church. Both of them were, to some degree, willing, weren't they? Isaiah 58. I want to read to you what God said is not right. Then I want to read to you what God said is right. And hope you'll go home and see if what you heard is according to the tenor of the book. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions, not all them other people, my people. I think it's the same ones, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name. I think it's talking about his church. Amen. Their transgressions and the house of Jacob, their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching unto God. Think now what he's saying. He's laying a foundation. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. See, the same people he's just been describing. They're saying in simple, my words, what was the point in us fasting? Wherefore have ye fasted? I know Brother Randall studied this and studied this and studied this. He could preach more on it than I can think about. But wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? God, we've been doing all this good in your name and keeping your ordinances and doing everything just right. Where were you when I needed you? Don't you remember what I done? That's the message I get out of it. Now, if I'm wrong, please share it with me. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou hast taken no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. Wow. And exact all your labors. It sounds to me like a little effort in the flesh, don't you? Huh? Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Hey, I've done it. Why didn't you sorry devils get it done? Ye shall not fast as ye do this day. This is the Lord telling them. Ye shall not do it like you've been doing it. Am I wrong, brethren? To make your voice heard on high. Now, if you're going to fast expecting to twist God's arm to get him to do what you mistaken. The devil ain't one. Me and you ain't either. But listen to what he says. Please, please listen. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Do you understand what he's saying? If I don't misunderstand it, he's saying you're going through the motions and expecting me to accept it. Did I miss it? You don't know anybody like that. Lord, don't you remember? I joined the church. And I'm still a member. And I've been there when the doors were open. How come this happened in my family? How come this happened to me? You understand?
Amen.
Listen to it just a little further. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? In other words, this is the fast that I have chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. When we fast from doing wickedness, that's a fast of the Lord. When we cease to do wickedness, that's a fast from the practice of wickedness.
Amen.
Is that wrong? Am I thinking it wrong, brethren? If I am, I sure need to sit down in a hurry. He said, the fast that I have chosen is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Not put heavier burdens on yourself or anybody else, but undo the heavy burdens. And to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. He's talking about getting out of jail. He's talking about getting out of bondage. And you thought Egypt was bad. Lord have mercy. That was physical. Illustrating spiritual, yes, but is it not, in other words, isn't the fast that I have chosen to deal thy bread, not somebody else, yours, to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Not call the agency. There's no benefit for you and me to call somebody else. But when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou might not hide thyself from thine own flesh. Please listen to the next verse if you didn't hear any of the rest of them. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall shine, shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I don't know how to say that word, so that's why I said it. I want to read another verse. Just one. Okay? It's the last few verses in the Old Testament. You know where I'm going. Chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, when I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel. Isn't that who we trust represents us? With the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet. Wait a minute, Elijah's way back yonder. But you got to read on. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Didn't say to the job. Didn't say to a good reputation in the public. It said to the children. Didn't say to the lust of his own flesh. To the children. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And he shall turn, this Elijah will, that I'm going to send, the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. Listen to the last of it. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Isn't he telling us that the way you lower the mountaintops and raise the valleys, and make the crooked way straight and the rough places plain, is to turn the hearts of the fathers. It didn't say mothers. I don't think you got too horribly much to worry about that. Of the fathers to the children. Not what can I get out of this woman if I marry her, but turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to the fathers, or something's going to happen. I say that's where we are in our country. And I say that's where we are in our churches. If you have to, forgive me. But I want to tell you, until fathers recognize what they are by nature, sorry, worthless, sinful wretches by nature, but by the grace of God, they are so precious that they are believer priests in the sight of God, because they've been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. He's reigning in glory, watching over all the times on earth. He's ruling in that 1,000 years. Now, and what manner of people ought we to be? Since everything we can get a hold of with our five senses ain't going to be around long. But everything you are in Christ is going to be around, as Brother Vince said, forever and ever 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 and ever. Amen. Right? Amen. There ain't that many evers in it all, but there's more than one, huh? You understand what I'm saying? Beloved, I don't care how much you believe anything that I may have said to you, it's going to take a more than accepting it for it to ever change you or your children, your home, your family, or your church. God bless you.